Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Thanks for coming along tonight. Madalai Joy is in Australia as the guest of Deakin University, and she's obviously currently in Sydney, so one of our associate members said we should give her a platform tonight, which is what we've done. So I'll introduce our speaker briefly. Madalai Joy is a former member of the Afghanistan Parliament. She's currently a social activist in Afghanistan, living in Afghanistan, and she's involved in the cause of rights for women and democracy in Afghanistan. And she's also a published author of a book called Raising My Voice. And she's going to address us tonight on the topic of Afghanistan today. Ms. Joy, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Very nice to meet you all. First of all, I would like to thank members of the Sydney Institute, especially Dear Anne and Gerald Hendes, who organized this event and invited me here and gave me this opportunity on behalf of my people to talk about the ongoing tragedy in my crying country and also about the realities of the so-called war on terror by US and NATO and about the brutalities of the Islamic fundamentalists. I was in Australia around 1 year ago. I shared the miseries and sorrows of my people with peace-loving people like you. But now I apologize that I do not have anything positive and hopeful about my country to present to you this time. Unfortunately, the situation goes from worse to worse. As a woman, I would like to firstly talk about the conditions of my country's women. The US and NATO invaded Afghanistan under the banner of bringing women rights, but today the situation of women is as catastrophic as it was under the domination of Taliban. Rapes, kidnappings, killings, acid attacks, and domestic violences are increasing rapidly. The rate of suicide, especially self-immolation of women aged between 14 and 40 years, is skyrocketing each day. According to BBC Persian, 2,300 suicide cases have been recorded so far this year. Rapes of girls as young as 5 are widespread in many provinces of Afghanistan. Domestic violence is mounting every day. Women's hands, nose, and ears are cut. They are slaughtered and beaten to death. Actually, such brutal crimes against women escalated during these 9 years of the US and NATO occupation. Recently, a woman was lashed in public and then shot in the head for having an illicit affair while she was pregnant in Badghis province. Also, in Ghazni province, a man and woman were stoned to death over a love affair. This shows that there is jungle law in many provinces, just like the Taliban time. The Time magazine cover story of Bibi Aisha is a clear example of using the plight of women as war propaganda. The headline says, "What happens if we leave Afghanistan?" But it should have been, "What happens while we are in Afghanistan?" The 67 women parliamentarians are just for decoration to deceive the world, and they have turned a blind eye to all the crimes committed against our pinned women and girls. Many of people ask me how they should support women of Afghanistan. I answer that, first of all, war will never help Afghan women. If we have the opportunity, Afghan women can liberate themselves, and progressive Afghan men will help us. We must be united and fight for our own liberation. The story of my young bodyguard is an example of how Afghans themselves would like to make the changes happen. His name is Faramarz, and is 20 years old. He got married to Soma, a young Afghan gang rape victim. She was gang raped by warlords in Sarpol province. Women like Soumya are brutalized twice, once by the rapist and then again by the society as a whole. Farmers was brave enough to break the taboo and get married to a rape victim. He's a hero for me because he's a positive example of change. These years of occupation has brought about countless civilian casualties. More than 8,000 civilians have been killed, and most of them are innocent children, women, and men killed in the year strikes in the 9 years of occupation. When Obama took office in 2008, many people were looking at the ballot boxes hoping for a real change. To be honest, as I followed his foreign policy regarding Afghanistan, he was just another Bush in my opinion. When I was in the U.S. during the presidential election, sometimes my strong opinion about Obama shocked even those who supported my message against the war. And some of them told me that because they are fed up of Bush, they are campaigning for Obama. But I explained to them that he is just the only player in the old system which rules the U.S. and safeguards the corporate interests. Unfortunately, Obama proved himself as a warmonger during these 2 years. To further prove this fact, it was during Obama's office that the civilian death toll increased by 24% and the drone attacks on Pakistan has increased. He has brought a surge of troops and the outcome is more innocent civilians, massacres, violences, distractions, pain and tragedies. The document released by WikiLeaks exposed the treachery of the U.S. government and proved what I have been saying about war in Afghanistan. The U.S. and NATO forces have had many more massacres than we know about, and they shamelessly decreased the number of civilian deaths and called them insurgents. That's why more and more people protest against the U.S. occupation and this increase with the passage of time. Now the world should know that this war is a disaster. In these 9 years, Australian government has followed the wrong policy of the US, and now they have decided to send more troops, which will just bring more war and conflict. As you may have heard, an infamous and corrupt warlord who has committed human rights crimes like Mutilla Khan and his commanders are directly trained and supported by the Australian forces. The U.S. and its allies occupied Afghanistan under the name of war on terror, but today they are terrorizing Afghan people and have hidden deals with terrorist groups. The war on terror is just a show, while in fact they have pushed Afghanistan and the whole region into a safe haven for terrorists. Taliban and other fundamentalist groups were not that powerful in 2001. The puppet regime of Karzai, which is full of the worst enemies of my people and are involved in war crimes, lootings, drug dealings, and corruption. The U.S. government has spent about $55 billion on rebuilding Afghanistan, according to a government watchdog. The corruption is so deep-rooted in Afghanistan that even the auditors are shocked by the financial system of U.S. aid in Afghanistan. According to a report published by the Agency Coordinating Body for Afghan Relief, ACBAR, said that one-third of $15 billion went into the corruption channels and 40% of it, which is $6 billion, went back to the donors' countries. Even the internal income of the country is being looted by a handful of warlords, which is why the gap between rich and poor is getting wider every day. Afghanistan is ranked 181st out of 182 countries in the Human Development Index. According to the Mines Minister, Afghanistan is sitting on around $3 trillion of mineral deposits, but because it's the second most corrupt country in the world, the income of these mines would fill the pockets of the government officials, warlords, and their foreign masters. In these 9 years, they have changed Afghanistan into a center of drug mafia. Those who have high posts in Karzai's regime are famous drug traffickers. For example, even President Karzai's brother is a famous drug lord who was exposed by New York Times and also in the payroll of CIA. Afghanistan is the top producer of opium in the world, and since 2001, the production of opium increased over 4,400%, with 93% of the world opium being produced under the very nose of tens of thousands of the U.S. and NATO troops. The U.S. and its allies are after their own strategic, economic, and geopolitical interest in Afghanistan and want to change Afghanistan into their military base in Asia, for which they are playing with the destiny of my suffering people and put them in more dangers, but they hide their evil plans under the nice slogans of democracy, human rights, etc., to deceive the world. Fascism and dictatorship is sold under the name of democracy to our people. The presidential and parliamentary elections held by the puppet regime are examples of this so-called democracy and a very bad joke with my people. It was all fraud, and it was just a show of democracy to bring the sworn enemies of Afghan people in power and give legitimacy to the puppet regime. Widespread tricks, intimidations, threats, and use of guns and money decided the winners. A large number of brutal men who should be behind bars for their crimes will fill the Afghan future parliament. The most priceless thing in these elections was people's vote and decision were made behind the scene by powerful men. According to news, in one district of Paktika province, the voter turnout was 626%. There was a great deal of buying and selling of votes. It has been 5 years since I was elected in the Afghan parliament. I faced many obstacles just to get elected. They cut off my microphone, they threatened me to death, and illegally removed me from my seat. We had a new election in September, but I choose not to participate amidst the chaos of occupation in this puppet regime, rule of drug mafia, in warlords, any hope I once had for using the ballot boxes to achieve change in Afghanistan is now gone. It was a difficult decision not to fight for my rightful place in the parliament. I had invitations to run from many other provinces, and it was hard to say no to these friends and supporters. My personal experience, as well as advice from those close to me, convinced me not to run for the election. As the whole world saw, the 2009 presidential election in Afghanistan was a total fraud. Both candidates, Karzai and Abdullah, were enemies of my people. The only change with the vote for Afghanistan was a new saddle for the same donkey, but the same donkey with the same saddle remained in power. Over the past 5 years, the U.S. and their allies made the warlords so powerful that they can now even more easily hijack the election results. It was a selection, not an election. Most members of parliament are lawbreakers and not lawmakers. This time, many refused to vote. Afghans don't want so-called democracy and so-called elections where gun and money have the first and last vote. I never really want to be a politician anyway. I was a social activist who used politics to continue my social activism on behalf of the poor of Afghanistan. When no justice can be achieved through the ballot box, the people must find alternative ways to fight for their rights, and we will never rest for a moment. I think justice-loving people of Australia agree with me that democracy never comes by barrel of gun, by war, cluster bomb, or white phosphorus. Australian people should know that people of Afghanistan want peace, liberation, democracy, but the current occupation is exactly against these values and have doubled our plight. The Western governments not only betrayed Afghan people, but their own people too. They are wasting taxpayer money and their soldiers' blood for a war which only safeguards the interest of the big corporation, and not only it did not defeat terrorists, but made them more powerful. And today the world is more dangerous than it was in 2001. No one can believe that a superpower with a massive military machine and most advanced weaponry is really unable to defeat a small, medieval, and ignorant band such as the Taliban. But in fact, Taliban are even being indirectly supported by the US government through Pakistan. Now, these terrorists like Taliban and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar are formally invited to be part of this mafia government. For the US, the only important thing is it is political and economic interest in Afghanistan so that it is not replaced with Iran or China. It's not of any importance for the US if even a more corrupt, mafia-ridden and dirtier government than the current one, with the participation of terrorist bands such as the Taliban and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, comes to power in Afghanistan remains backward. Right now, there are two kinds of resistance going on in my country. One is the reactionary resistance of the Taliban, which is the US has made a mountain out of a molehill. And another is resistance of ordinary Afghan people, both young and old, which is increasing day by day. I think it's a big hope for the future of our country. While Western governments bomb us, but I'm happy that the great and peace-loving people of these countries stand in solidarity with us and raise their voice against the wrongdoing of their governments. Your solidarity gives us encouragement and determination to fight for justice and true democracy in our country. The only solution to Afghanistan is that troops should withdraw, because their presence is making our fight for justice much harder by empowering reactionary, brutal, and dark-minded forces that are great obstacles for the true democratic elements. All of them, including the Australian forces, directly support Afghan warlords who have a history full of treason and crimes against my people. But the more they push their brutalities and aggressive policies, the more people will join the ranks of the pro-democracy movement of Afghanistan. Afghan people are squashed between three enemies: Taliban, fundamentalist warlords, and troops. If the foreign enemy leave the Afghan grounds, my people would face two internal enemies, and it would be easier to fight against two enemies instead of three. Some says that Taliban may get back to power and a civil war will break, but my people, despite being wounded, tired, and hopeless of all wars, will fight steadfastly till the end because of the hatred they have for them. The history bears witness that only the nations can liberate themselves. I would like to ask all peace-loving, justice-seeking, and democratic organizations, groups, parties, and individuals to support progressive and democratic-minded forces that need your support and helping hand and are a real alternative for a positive change in my country. Therefore, my message to you is to empower my people educationally, because education is a key toward emancipation. Once again, heartfelt thanks for your solidarity and support. Thank you very much.
Many thanks. So we come to questions and discussion, yeah. And we'll go for about 20 minutes or so. I just lead off. Can I just get an idea of what you actually want to achieve? You called President Obama a warmonger, and you want all allied forces out, which is some 46 nations who are with the NATO force or NATO-led force in Afghanistan, and you... You want President Karzai defeated, or he might be overthrown, but you want him out of government in Kabul. Now, If that's the case, those members of the Allied forces fighting in Afghanistan regard the Taliban as very able military fighters with quite sophisticated weapons, big enough to harm Allied forces in tanks. Now, presumably, they're not going to go away. So if the Allied forces leave and the Karzai government is overthrown, how is it going to be better for women and others when you've got a Taliban force which is militarily very proficient?
Yes.
So if you just come back here. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
You come back in and talk to the end of the room. Pick up the microphone. Yeah.
Thank you. If you don't mind, few questions I will ask. You should ask, then I will answer together.
You can do one at a time because otherwise it becomes too difficult. Yeah, let's just do one at a time. So we've got a TV camera here, so let's just do one at a time.
Okay. Yeah, first of all, regarding the civil war, was that you are worried that you say maybe civil war will happen or Taliban will come in power. Today itself is a civil war, to tell you better on behalf of my people. I think that another civil war that you will be worried, I think, will not be more dangerous than this civil war. From the sky, occupation forces are bombing, killing civilians, most of them women and children, under the name of Taliban. In the ground, warlord and Taliban together to continue to their fascism. So with the withdrawal of foreign troops, we will fight one enemy instead of two. Then, as I said during my speech, that these warlords, Taliban, day by day getting more powerful by support of their foreign masters, as I explained very well in my book as well, because of lack of time, to tell you briefly, that Taliban created by U.S. government through Pakistan, I mean intelligence service of Pakistan, ISI, and also Saudi Arabistan, their domination destroyed. And still they are playing the game of Tom and Jerry with these terrorists to have a good excuse to stay longer in Afghanistan because of their own interest. That's why they really don't want to put practical step to defeat the Taliban. There's official report that in over 80% of Afghanistan, Taliban right now, they control. Taliban indirectly, this 9 years, become supported in some provinces like in Nangarhar, in Kandahar, in Uruzgan, in Farah province, my own province, in Samangan, some other provinces. Even media gave report that Taliban troops drop food and gun to the areas that very famous that there is Talib. Always media says there is Talib. Then they drop food and gun for them. Then they say thank you. Then these troops say, oh, sorry, we didn't know that there is Taliban. Even media of Afghanistan discussed that Taliban, they found American gun with Taliban. Which is clear that this 9 years, they supported Taliban indirectly through Pakistan government. And still, they support them formally. They invite these dinosaurs to join the government. This is just fan of peace. One terrorist groups like Warlord, who are photocopy of the Taliban, invite another terrorist like Taliban to join the government. So situation of the woman, no question that will be more bloody, more disaster. Not only women, men and women together. So this is not the alternative. There we have many other democratic-minded people, intellectuals, some parties. Why they do not support them? If really Australian government honest for Afghan people, why they do not raise their voice strongly against the strong policy of the U.S., NATO? And why Mullah Omar, this terrorist, to join the government? Obama says, Mullah Omar, these Taliban are moderate. We do negotiate with moderate Taliban. How they recognize that terrorist is moderate and another one is not? First of all, this is a question for our people. Recently, 20 terrorist Taliban, their name removed from the blacklist of the UN Security Council. One of them is the foreign minister of the Taliban, Mullah Mutawakkil. Without to say apologize, at least to our people. They are not moderate. Here, let me show you a picture of one Taliban that who was a spokesperson of the Taliban. His name is Mullah Rahmatullah Hashimi. When they destroyed Buddha's statue, Taliban, he defends. But right now, he is enjoying in the Yale University, one of the best universities of the U.S. When I had lectured there on behalf of my people, it was a shocking news for all students and teachers. Many other examples, the name only difficult for you. If you want through email also, I can give you. Mullah Abdul Salam Rakhti, who raped 3 Chinese in the parliament of Afghanistan, a famous killer Taliban. Mullah Asalar Rahmani in the Senate. Mullah Abdul Salam, who did massacre in Mazar Sharif in the period of Taliban, his chief district of Musa Kala in Helmand province. And many other terrorists, Talib, who are already in power. Only Mullah Omar is not in power, they invite to join the government. So tell you better, they betray more of our people. They don't want to lose Taliban in warlords. They need them, through them, they occupied our country. They will be longer in Afghanistan. Don't be deceived by these initial empty promises that they tell you we will leave Afghanistan after 1 year. Someone should ask them, in 9 years, what you did that you want to achieve it in 1 year. Anyway, down to occupation, and we want them to go out of Afghanistan.
Question down there, then on the edge. Yes.
About a decade ago, we had a woman from Afghanistan, from Rawa, who came to tell us how terrible the Taliban were, which we believed, and to implore the West to do something about it. She couldn't be photographed like you are. She had to be photographed from behind. So to me, the fact that you can stand here and be photographed is one step forward. We heard a lot about how there was no education for girls. We heard about the terrible tyranny of the Taliban. We witnessed that on our TV. What you're saying now is that only 80% of the country is controlled by the Taliban and 20% is not. So to me, that is a progress. So what you're asking is for us to help you. And what we don't understand is how we help you by giving a bit of money to you for a bodyguard. What we really want to see is what are the democratic processes that could possibly exist in a country where what you describe is virtually in the hands of warlords. And so if there is no bodyguard from the West, you are virtually going to be back where you were when that woman came to talk for us from Rawa a decade ago. So can you tell us a bit about the positives of the 20% that are not controlled by the Taliban and how those 20% of areas of Afghanistan might well be the way forward rather than simply using the United States and the coalition of the West as a bad bogeyman? Because I think your message is too negative and we don't understand how we can help you.
Thanks for your question, but just briefly because of lack of time. Rawa is a democratic political organization, a woman organization. They are underground, like other democratic parties we have, like Afghan Solidarity Party, and like some democratic NGO we have, like OPAC, like HAKA, like AFSICO, a few other that we have, Azadi Khan Party, that they are underground activists because there is no security for them. The warlords, Taliban, also against them. And the difference between me and Rawa organization and other organization, democratic-minded organization, that I allow that to take my picture because I am fame. When I stand up in 2003 in Loijerga, you can see this clip on my website and with more memories how it was difficult first to give me chance to talk. Finally, when I used the tribune of the Loijerga for the benefit of my people because there was world attention. I know that it is risky. It's like to sign you a debt, but I thought it's the best chance to at least expose their mask for democratic-minded people around the world that they are deceiving them. That's why I stand up, and on that time I become fame. So if even now I do not allow to not take my photo, it makes no sense anyway. But despite that, right now, despite being troops there in Afghanistan, despite wearing burqa in bodyguard, I changed the houses and I'm living underground. 5-time assassination attempts they did, and some other memory you can read in my book. Well, when you compare with the dark period of terrorist Taliban, I was activist as well. With burqa. But now alone my life story is enough to tell more about mockery of democracy and women rights in Afghanistan. But how you can support us, just again because of lack of time, one chapter of my book dedicated to this question, and you can read to know how to help us more. But briefly, you can, for example, join the glorious anti-war movement in your country, meet with democratic politicians of your country who are in power, pass the message to your government that not bomb Afghan people, do not kill innocent civilians, meet the democratic-minded journalists when coming in Afghanistan, not only interview and meeting with the so-called politicians who are pro-war and pro-occupation, who go to the faraway provinces as well to make report. And also, through different way, we can help each other, educationally support, give the money as much as you can to democratic-minded parties, intellectuals, not to discourage government. That $60 billion is not less. Otherwise, today Afghanistan two times was rebuilt. No need to send any more taxpayer money. And many other examples that you can help us if you want, even will be very less, but bring positive changes in Afghanistan for the bright future. So regarding the foreign bodyguard, my bodyguard is not foreign bodyguard. They are Afghan. They are innocent Afghan. They accept this big risk for less salary. They are working. They are, it itself is a big project on my shoulder. And also, but I'm honored more than my life. I'm worried about their life. And they stand up. So you said about 20% of Afghanistan that the Taliban do not control. You want me to tell positive. I think that these officials from government that always they are busy in luxury hotels and huge conferences that they are attending the government, prepare for them, the tribune, the Western governments, it's enough to tell this propaganda and this very less positive steps. What is the positive steps? Well, they are telling you we built their schools. Okay, few schools they built in some big cities, some women they have access to job and education. But in most of provinces, situation is like hell. Even government gave reports, hundreds doors of the schools has been closed because security reasons. Even in Kabul, an Afghan Turkish school, tens of girls has been poisoned. How they dare tomorrow go to school? Taliban burning their schools in faraway provinces while they build. No question we need helping hand, we want educational support. But the money under the name of education, rebuilding of Afghanistan, schools, orphans, widows, etc., going to the pocket of the warriors, drug lords, these criminals. And to know better the wrong policy of the US and NATO, only this point is enough that Taliban, middle-minded, ignorant people, almost destroyed opium, but a superpower country with 40 more countries not able, there is official report that I can show for you that here this is the report of Taliban 2001, 185 metric ton, the report of the drug. But now how much increased? 2007 that much, but now more than that, as I told you during the speech, 4,400% opium increase. Here are some other photos of civilian casualties. 7-year-old girl has been raped brutally by 3 men. And every man's tens of women commit suicide. These pictures, you can see most of the women and children, they kill under the name of Taliban. And many, many other examples that they are doing their war crime. They are not honest for Afghan people. They occupied Afghanistan, US and NATO, including Australian government, follow this wrong policy. They must end this occupation. Democracy with occupation make no sense. But if I said Taliban already control 80% of Afghanistan, not only Taliban, warlord, who are photocopy of the Taliban, 100% they control Afghanistan.
Question there, then we go down here.
Well, no, I pass these pictures to you. You can see.
We're just doing question time. Can we just?
Here. I pass to them. They can see.
We're just doing question time. Can we just? We just do it the way we always do it. I run it. I try to run it. We try to take questions.
Okay, let's just do it
the way we usually do it.
Yeah, as you wish.
Yeah, thank you. There's a question there, then we go down here, and we don't have a lot of time.
I'd just like to comment on the idea that...
No, we want questions.
Yeah, I'm
going to
ask a question, but I just want to make one point. It's a complete myth, the idea that the Allied forces are there to get rid of the Taliban. If you've read the newspaper in the last month, you would know
that the Allied forces
are actually negotiating with the Taliban, negotiating with Khamid Karzai.
Can I just say
and actually,
thing?
The Taliban is a creation of the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army funded the Taliban.
We already have one speaker.
The Soviets, they funded the Taliban. It's actually a monster created by the United States. The idea of the United States is going to
I tend to find that one speaker is enough. I tend to find it sort of works.
I want to ask a question.
You can make a comment or ask a question, but one speaker is enough.
Okay. The question I want to ask is if you could explain the history of the Taliban, how the United States has funded the Taliban in the past, and also the history of Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan and the kind of person that he is and the sort of corruptness of the government.
With more details, you can read in my book and also some other books I offered for you, like double scheme. Robert Dreyfus wrote this book. You can read that. And also Ghost War, Bleeding Afghanistan, and many other books if you want by email I can give you. But to tell you briefly, Taliban created by U.S. government, CIA, in the religious school of Pakistan by support of Saudi Arabistan, they export to Afghanistan. When they come in power, people thought maybe Taliban is better than warlord, but they were photocopy of each other, and today world knows fortunately about the Taliban, these terrorists. But the warlord, since Cold War, when we fought against Russia and puppet of Russia, they got support of the U.S. So the foundation of these eight fundamentalist parties that their leaders like Sayyaf, Rabbani, Kanuni, Mohakek, Dostum, Khalili, who have high posts in Iran, cars, they with bloody hands, the foundation was in the pocket of CIA and ISI. Still, they have their support. And also that, let me tell you from this opportunity that after 9/11, it was the U.S. again that they replaced terrorist Taliban with the fundamentalist warlord, who did civil war from 92 to 96. Alone in Kabul, they killed more than 60,000 innocent civilians. You can see Human Rights Watch website, you can see Amnesty International website, you can see RAW Organization website, many other sources if you want I can give you. It's now open secret. They created Taliban in this 9 years, again, indirectly, they support Taliban again by mainly Pakistan.
Now, we just go back to the way we normally do it at the Sydney Institute, which is anyone can ask a question or make a comment, but they are to be directed to the speaker. We have one speaker, that's quite enough for any night, and we don't want speeches from the floor. Yeah. You can do it after.
Yeah, just after. One sentence.
Hang on, that wasn't a question.
Yeah. Okay. No, not question, one sentence, because that part of question I missed about Kazi. Who's okay. Kazi? Hmm. Just briefly to tell you, a shameless puppet man who worked with Unocal, and he worked in the domination of the Taliban in the past. Maybe you know better his background, but he is just a Khatan hero. Our people say that U.S. need to such a puppet, Khatan hero, that when you see that, say, oh, he do not have bloody hands, but he support these criminals and still support and also call the Taliban to come and power. Now my people hate him more than these terrorists. Why? Because he has first the responsibility that pushed Afghanistan toward this disaster by support of Taliban in warlords.
Now there's a question here. Okay. Then we go down the back. Yeah.
Yes, you seem to want to have the Allied forces out of there. My understanding is, and I know the history of the US and the Taliban, I think we all do, my question is that the Australian troops right now are training your troops. You do not seem to have enough troops. If you think that the Allied forces are going to go out and you're going to be left to fight a civil war against the Taliban, how are you going to do that without troops?
Yeah. You know, the Australian troops, first, let me tell you that they are not only Australian, American troops, NATO, they are just victim of the wrong policy of their government, victim of the warmongers who send them just for war. And also from this opportunity, I pass condolence to those parents who lost their son and their daughter in my country under the name of so-called war on terror. But condolence is not enough. They must raise their voice strongly against the wrong policy of their government that stop training the warlords. Let me tell you, Afghan National Army, today Afghan people, they call it Dollar Army, while in the past it was volunteer. Why? Because of poverty, people go and join that because per month $200, while more than 80% live below the poverty line. Even some mom of my country ready to sell their babies for only $10. Many other examples anyway regarding corruption and poverty. But the head of these Afghan National Army and police armies are the warlords. And still they push Afghanistan toward Malaysia, but with beautiful name, not Malaysian name. Maybe you heard about Malaysia, this word. The Malaysians did civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96. The commanders of these warlords. Sometimes the small fishes go to the jail, but sharks are free. And also I told you, my sister, the example of Mutilah Khan, that warlord man. Even media, Western media nowadays discuss and expose him. Commanders of this cruel man in Uruzgan province, that you have troops there, they formally get training from Australian government. Only one example is, I think, enough. If you want more, just because of lack of time, I will give you through email. Anyway, which is clear that this 9 years, why the warlord become powerful? Why Afghanistan instead slowly go toward democracy, going toward disaster? Why condition of women, why they getting worse? Why the people come on the streets with slogans against US? They never write Australia out of Afghanistan. Why? Because all for them same, because they follow the wrong policy of the US.
Excuse me, none of that explains how you are going to fight the Taliban.
How we are fighting the Taliban?
Now, how will you be
the
able
question
to
was. The question was.
Sorry, maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. The question was, if everything happens the way you want it to happen, and all the allies go, how will you and your supporters fight the Taliban in the future?
Yeah. Same like today, as we are doing a struggling. As I told you, that this 9 years they proved they are not honest for us. They made powerful our enemies. As much as they get more powerful, create more problem, will be easier to eliminate us. That's why we want them to stop this wrong policy. Then we will fight these Taliban and warlords, not also the occupation forces. At least one enemy instead of two. Anyway, with the passage of time, you will know how much we are right. Because what we said, at least me, on behalf of my people, this few years I become famous, have speeches on behalf of my people in different countries. You see what I said, everything day by day coming true. What I said, that Taliban and warlords, brother and creed of each other. So now they prove for the people of the West, yeah, they are brother and creed of each other, because they agree to bring Taliban also in power, while this 9 years, they were telling you lies that we are fighting against Taliban. That's why it's not only military war in Afghanistan, this is war of propaganda as well. True mainstream media still they betray the truth and put dust on your eyes. Never they do give report the resistance of ordinary Afghan people. You know, put your feet on the shoes of Afghan people. A student of the university, 19 members of his family in one day has been killed in my own province in Faro. That last year, these foreign troops, American troops, they did bomb. 150 civilians has been killed, even used white phosphorus. People, students of the university, when they got this news, all of them, they come on the streets, they did huge demonstration, but never media gave report that to you. This man attended my press conference. You can see on my website, he's human. Let's think as human being, not just like a politician. Put yourself in the place of Afghan people, in the position of Afghan people, how much they are suffer. They hate the war. They're tired of the war. They hate the Taliban. They hate the warlords. We have proud full history against occupation. So if the US and NATO do not go out voluntarily with the passage of time, I'm sure my people will give them good lesson, which they gave in the past, to the British as a superpower country, to the Russia as a superpower country.
I'm sure you're aware that it recently was revealed that Afghanistan has got substantial mineral deposits which are potentially a source of enormous wealth for the country. Do you think it's feasible to cut straight to the chase and instead of using the foreign troops' military presence there to fight the Taliban, to use them to protect development? Development enclaves of these resources, in other words, if large foreign multinational companies came in and developed your mineral resources for the benefit of Afghanistan primarily.
Yeah.
The military forces could be used to protect those developments, that sort of paying royalties to corrupt officials, they use the royalties to build infrastructure, schools, hospitals, and train people to run. Do you think that could be a feasible alternative to the present policy?
Yeah, I apologize if you don't mind to repeat briefly, because I just want to be to the point.
The suggestion was that it may be best for Afghanistan if foreign forces were used to protect Afghan minerals being developed, which would earn money for Afghanistan, were used to protect them because under the current situation, the wealth from those mineral processes can be stolen and not go back to the Afghan people. So the question is whether foreign military forces could protect Afghan mineral production.
You know, we wished that they build schools for us, hospital, clinic, streets, etc. Especially this, our rich mine that we have in Afghanistan, internal mine. I said during my speech, even I quoted the report of one minister of the mine. The system is looter system. The system is corrupt system. And the foreign troops who are there, their government, I mean, the foreign just, they are victim, foreign troops. But I'm talking about their government wrong policy. They must stop arming and supporting these corrupt people. And also not invite these terrorist Taliban, then everything will be slowly better. Yeah, this rich internal mine that we have will benefit thousands of Afghans, I'm sure. And anyway, but the problem, again, I told you that the corrupt mafia regime, it's enough that $60 billion, I said. The government say $55 billion, but I'm telling you, no, more than 60 even. There are some other sources as well that they give to Karzai's regime. And let me give you one example. In Helmand province, since King Zahir Shah was in power, they did research, those who were in power, they said there is uranium. But now they again say, yeah, they found uranium, pure uranium, in Helmand province. In Helmand province, it's very unsafe province of Afghanistan. Why? Because they changed Helmand to the center of the drug, and because of the looting of uranium. Even they made internal underground airplane to export the drug and uranium and other rich mine that we have outside. They are a kind of arguing between British troops and American troops. Each of them, they want to be longer there, that to have more troops there, to control more, to benefit a lot. There are even other sources that they brought a kind of improvement applicants that to export the uranium that we have. Anyway, again, I'm telling you some other examples. If you want, by email I can give you. They are just busy with their own dirty business.
There's a question down there.
You're asking us to sort of help support democratic organisations in Afghanistan. Could you explain a little bit about what those organisations are, how they're organised, what their membership is, and how they're communicating within the country?
Yeah, we have, for example, few democratic parties, political parties, secular parties, also few democratic NGOs, while most of Afghan and foreign NGOs are corrupt. And also more than that, we have a lot of intellectuals, well-educated professors. There are no honorable job for them. But few democratic party, let me give you one example of Afghan Solidarity Party. This is a party that they are still underground in Afghanistan. They have their own activists. Recently, when these occupation forces, they bomb in Helmand province, that media gave report 51 civilians, innocent people has been killed, and fascist regime of Iran hanged innocent Afghan people, and also democratic-minded Iranian when they hanged. They had a demonstration in three provinces of Afghanistan, in Herat, in Kabul, in Jalalabad. Hundreds of people joined this organization for demonstration against occupation and against these cruelty and also this crimes of these neighbor countries, especially that Iran I mentioned. So it's one example. You can meet them. You can see their website by email I can give you, and later if you want. And also through them support my people. Rawa is another democratic party, one of our supporters. He mentioned that this is a woman organization, but political one, and they also have their own activists, sometimes attending international conferences. I met Zoya, a member of Rawa, on behalf of this organization in a conference. She was telling me how much it is. They have problem. They have project in Afghanistan. Still, they are underground. Let's follow their website, which is also helpful for you regarding information about situation of my country. And also some other NGOs like HACA, like AKA, Organization of Promoting Afghan Women Capabilities. This was the NGO I was activist of that in the dark period of Taliban, even was not registered. But now registered with lots of problem, even lost their project. Follow their activities and meet their members. Some few other I know, if you want, by email I can give you. Please contact them. Through them, support my people. At least through your support to me as a person, as I told you, my project, this bodyguard is a big project on my shoulder. Always my supporters in some event, they put donation box, raise some money for my security. So you are the one who supports us. Through me, my people. I'm a person. Alone, I'm nothing. One hand never has voice. But if today I continue this struggle with lots of hopes and will because of support of these poor suffer people day by day, I understand how much I'm right. Now, like network, we are working. People asking to make a party. I'm thinking about this. Please join us as much as you can support us. Thank you.
Especially right down the far corner down in here.
Some of the press reports that we see here suggest that the involvement of Western countries and Western troops in Afghanistan has led to increased support for the Taliban. Do you believe that's true? And what's your sense of how much popular support the Taliban actually has? And is that part of the reason why they've been able to gain the 80%, not only through military strength, but because there is some level of popular support for them?
The question is, how much popular support is there for the Taliban, and has the Allied intervention increased that support? But, and if there is increasing popular support for the Taliban, would that explain why, in your view, the Taliban is controlling 80% of the nation? So how much popular support is there for, not the warlords, but for the Taliban as we know it?
You know, the Taliban, let me tell you briefly, I think it's, I already answered this question. You know the background of the Taliban, I do not repeat. Again, I offer you, if you don't mind, to my book. Anyway, but Taliban, the US and NATO, they are not serious that to defeat the Taliban. How it was easy for them after 9/11 to make destroy the domination of the Taliban while they were in power. But this 9 years for a high military machine with 40 more countries, not possible to make powerless Taliban. They are not serious. Through them, keep situation in danger to be longer in Afghanistan. But yeah, some people even they get deceived going with the Taliban to take their revenge from the warlord. Going with that one terrorist to take revenge from another terrorist. That's why our responsibility is very important in Afghanistan to guide the people to the right direction. That's why even if it is risky, more hardships there, other challenges, problems that we have, we want to be there, even if it will cost our life. I remember one Afghan called me from the mountain that, my sister, I support you, I love you, but I'm in the mountain with the Taliban to fight against warlord. I agree with you that Taliban also terrorists, but what should I do? How I should take my revenge from these terrorist warlord? I said, my brother, please come from the mountain. We talk together. There's some other alternative as well. It's not good to go with one terrorist to fight against another. Same like what US and NATO did. They support one terrorist warlord who have history full of treason and crimes, war-known killers, to fight against another terrorist. Here are some pictures during the campaign. You can see on my website also, if you want, that people threw red color on the pictures of these criminals, like Sayyaf, Mohakik, who are running for the election. Golobzoy, he was interior minister of Russia, puppet regime of Russia when occupied, with the signature of this cruel man. His name is Said Mohammad Golobzoy. Thousands of Democrats in Policharkhi jail has been killed. Right now, he is enjoying in the parliament with the warlords. And many other we have. Itself is the resistance of the people that show their hatred to the Taliban and also to the warlord. Anyway, which is clear, our people hate them. That's why we need your solidarity and support for this prolonged and risky struggle. We are coming just for one day. Today, the world is too small like a village. And terrorists, not only in Afghanistan, in many other countries, even in the West, these fundamentalists, these warmongers, Al-Qaeda, to tell you better. We must be united. When our enemies get united, why we should not be united against terrorists?
Just a final question. You've been to questions tonight about your own security, and you've raised the question of your own security and bodyguards, and you're after support for that. Without giving away any fact that might damage your security, I mean, how do you live in Kabul? You obviously move around, but can you fly into Kabul airport, or do you have to go in through Pakistan or some other country, or how do you live yourself day to day when you're back in Afghanistan, and how often are you back in Afghanistan over, say, a year? Are you there for long or just a short time?
Yeah, each time in Afghanistan, 3 months, 4 months I stay, while a lot of invitation letters coming around the world from different countries, anti-organization, peace-loving organization, feminist organizations, I don't know that some other parties and universities, like this time Deccan University invited me, paid all expenses, they gave their tribute on behalf of my people to me. In Canada recently, McGill University invited me. There was an international conference around the world. There was human rights activists and other activists, social activists. I had lectured there as a key speaker. Anyway, but after each few months when I'm traveling, accept some invitation letters, my head is full of the shocking news. I don't know which one first I should share with you. The misery of my people, these miseries, and also the truth that still the media, mainstream media especially, they betray the truth. I agree with Patrick Tyler says. He says in the world is two superpowers. One is the U.S., one is the world public opinion. Yeah, I believe in the world public opinion. If their eyes will be open, their government, first of all, will face with the resistance of their own people. That's why U.S. government and NATO, like Vietnam War, they are searching for an honorable solution, so-called honorable solution. Regarding my life, I'm changing the houses in Kabul. I told you despite burqa and bodyguard, not safe, but in safe houses I'm changing, quite not normal life, but close contact with the people through mobiles, underground, and also I have office there now. I established that my supporter, who I trust them this few years, I know them very well, very strong supporter, honest. They follow my activities on behalf of me, meet with Afghan people, groups and groups of students of university I meet underground. Like a network, we are working. People pass the message. For example, they record in their mobiles through different way to talk to other people. They banned me quite from media when they expelled me from parliament. While I'm in Afghanistan, they say propaganda, she's not living in Afghanistan. But how I travel to the West, to tell you briefly, I cannot have flight from Afghanistan. When they expelled me from parliament, they took my diplomatic passport. And maybe you hear. Anyway, you can ask Foreign Ministry of Afghanistan otherwise. But this is ordinary passport that in the office of my province, before the letter of government go to them, they urgent made that ordinary passport. With so many problems, I travel underground with car in burqa and bodyguard, coming to another country, apologize for security reasons. I cannot tell you in which country, from which airport, which is clear, my supporter always who invite and they pay expenses, they know how much it was difficult. Sometimes in their event, when they invite me, they say about these problems. But anyway, I'm happy that coming at least through support of these democratic-minded people, which gives us more hope, courage, determination, just to bring the message of our people and asking for your solidarity.
Many thanks. Take a seat.
Well, we've heard a range of views of the Sydney Institute on Afghanistan and related issues, and no doubt we'll hear more in the future. Deakin University brought Melanie Doyle to Australia, and we were pleased to have her at the Sydney Institute to talk about Afghanistan today. So thanks for coming along, and maybe we'll see you in the future. Good luck.
Yes.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.